Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Black Girls Have Anxiety 2, the safe space created for Black women by Black women to strip away the taboo of talking about mental health. You'll hear from mental health professionals and advocates, as well as Black women sharing their experiences as we break down the complexities, explore ways to heal, and support each other. My name is Ashley. I'm your host. Whether you're a seasoned regular or this is your first time tuning in, thank you so much for your support. Now let's get into today's episode.
Welcome, listeners, to a special episode of the But What Do I Know podcast and the Black Girls Have Anxiety 2 podcast. I'm Chit Suzanne, and I am the founder and host of the But What Do I Know podcast.
And I'm Ashley Nas. I'm the host of Black Girls Have Anxiety 2 podcast.
All right. So, listeners, welcome, welcome. This is, you know, sort of a special episode we're doing to close out the year, to kind of reflect on the year, celebrate our moments from this year. And Ashley and I have got to know each other this year, and I'm so excited to do this with Ash. So we're like, you know what, let's do a crossover episode. Let's have fun. So I am definitely excited. We are also going to be sipping on a little something something while we have this conversation. Okay. Got the Moscato, girl. Okay. What are you sipping on?
I don't know. Actually, what is this? This is like a rosé something something.
Okay. Yeah, and I got Moscato in my glass. So we're going to have a good time and get into it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, girl, let's start it off. How do you feel like, you know, 2023 has been for you? What has your overall journey been like for 2023? Has it energized you, or do you feel like this year has drained you, girl?
Drained. Completely. Ooh. Drained. With all caps. I think that this year, I feel like I was just, I've been going so fast, both in my personal life, but also trying to balance the speed of the podcast, going from like doing weekly episodes to doing bi-weekly episodes to making a not so great attempt at going back to weekly episodes, and like trying to manage traveling, which has been great, but also manage changes in work and, you know, just also managing like what I want to do with the podcast and what is actually doable with the amount of time and like resources that I have. So 2023 has drained me, and I've learned a lot of lessons. But how about you?
Oh, girl. So it's weird because I feel like it's done both for me. I feel like it has energized me. I think I'm like, there's this reawakening of like, ooh, girl, like you are creative. You can do things. You, like, this podcast is growing. You know, you're starting to enjoy the work that you do outside of the podcast. And like, you know, even with different things that are happening around the world, like I'm starting to believe in humanity. Like, people are standing up for things. People, you know, there's this sort of like collective reawakening that I'm like, ooh, I'm a little energized by this.
Yeah.
But I also hear you, because those are the very same things that have drained the hell out of me. All the, like, we barely got out of a pandemic. Now we got two wars on our hands. More pending. They're telling me every day on Twitter.
Every day, I'm like, more coming. What's, you know?
You know, there's conflicts everywhere. And then just the hustle, like you said, like this year, I think I saw a growth in the podcast, and I was like, oh, okay, the work is really paying off. But then at the same time, it's like, oh, gotta keep up with this. Oh my god, oh my god. So I definitely relate to you on that front, because I'm like, whew, girl.
Yeah. I think I felt more energized in like the first 5 months. I think May hit, and that's kind of when, at that point, I was like, realized I was burnt out. But prior to that, I feel like I was more energized the first, like early this year into the spring, felt really good. But I also think I just wasn't, I won't say there wasn't things going on in the world, because like we had a war going on with Russia and Ukraine. But I think now, this last 6 months, especially like this last 3 months, I think I'm much more aware of things that are going on around the world. So that is also like draining in a sense. And I don't want to say that to be like complaining, but I think I'm somebody who values understanding what's going on and trying to get an understanding of like the history. And then the more I dig, the more I learn, the more I realize, oh my gosh, I don't know anything about what's going on.
Girl.
And there's so much to know. There's so much to unlearn. That is draining, because you want to feel like, okay, am I keeping up with what's going on? Like, and just seeing the like loss of life and like the horrific things that are going on, it is draining. But also, I think I have to take a step back. It's important to look at that as like, okay, that is, there's horrific things happening, but there are also people in the world that are like rising up and educating themselves and educating each other. So like you said, it's this balance of like, there are terrible things going on, but there are like humans out there that are trying to make the world a better place and try to stop those things that are happening. So,
okay. Yeah. So I guess, you know, you've been on the But What Do I Know podcast. You're an honorary member at this point. Okay. Hey, we love you over here.
Podcast sisters.
Yes. Real life pod sisters. Okay.
Yes.
So you already know that, you know, the But What Do I Know podcast is all about exploring moments of life that just make you go like, damn, like, but what do I know about insert whatever word here?
Yeah.
So, you know, we've kind of talked about how this year had us a little bit of a roller coaster. We were drained and we were energized. But was that something that you walked into this year, like questioning, you were like, damn, but what do I know about this? And you're going to walk out of this year like, yeah, I learned me a little something about that.
I think my moment of that would be kind of with the podcast, feeling like I have a lot more people, a lot more eyes on the podcast, a lot more people listening and people sharing. And kind of having maybe like an imposter syndrome moment of like, I don't know what to do next. I don't even know if it was imposter syndrome. I think literally I was just like, what do I actually know about this? Like, I'm just a person that decided to start this podcast and have just like kept the momentum going. And then sometimes like, I think this moment was me stepping back and going, oh my gosh, actually this is going somewhere. And it's not just me reaching out to people, but it's people like reaching out to me. And I think it kind of puts the pressure on. But I think now I've gotten a lot better at networking in that sense and like understanding. I think I've learned a lot of lessons in terms of the pace of the podcast. And then I think I've also just realized there is so much when it comes to like the world that I just don't know what is happening. Like,
girl,
I just don't know. There's so much that I've accepted that I know 0.00001% of what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that might not even be true because of how things have been taught. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
How things have been taught, how quickly things are escalating on like a daily basis. Yes. Yeah.
How about you? What's your moment?
I feel like mine were like, but what do I know about patience? And the big one for me, other than patience, was, but what do I know about sustaining relationships while building a business? Like, you know, whether that be a side hustle, this podcast and media business, like, but what do I know about sustaining the friendships, my relationship?
Yeah.
Like finding that balance between like your 9-to-5, this venture, and then you still got to find time to take care of yourself. And then you still got to find time to upkeep and sustain the relationships that you have. I said,
yes, I'm tired.
Yeah. Like, I was like, oh my God. And I just felt like, especially one thing I was reflecting on is, so I had a really good friend move this year to France. And then I met you and I feel like, oh, we have such a beautiful bond. And then I'm like, okay, Ashley's in Miami. And then I have some girls of like some close friends that are here, but everyone is kind of in their own like lane. Everyone's doing things. So we're not seeing each other as regularly now. So there has been this sense of like, I don't know if loneliness is the word to use, but it's sort of been like a moment of like, damn, like where are my girls at?
Yes.
You know,
like the loneliness has definitely been there for me too. And I think like, I'm super thankful that we've met and been able to not only meet like virtually, but hang out in person and still have the same vibe, the same connection. Like this is definitely one of my friendships that I feel like I've intentionally nourished. But I also feel like a part of that is being honest within those friendships about like where you're at in a way that doesn't burden the other person, but in an honest way that, because I know I can hit you up and be like, Chid, I'm not, you know, I'm tired or I'm not feeling great tonight. Like, let's talk tomorrow. And I think being able to do that rather than just not saying anything at all is an area of growth for me when it comes to friendships. Because sometimes I just be like, okay, I'm just not going to say anything because I just can't today. But it's, yeah, I feel like if you value those friendships, there's different steps to take to try to maintain them. But it does get lonely out here. Like, yeah. It gets super lonely.
Yeah, I was really just reflecting on it. And I was like, damn, like, okay, she's gone. She moved. Yeah. She's traveling the world on her own. She's in a different city. She's in the States. She's thinking about moving to the States. I was like, okay, all right then.
Yeah. You can just go ahead and move to the States if you really, really want to.
Yeah, girl. I mean, I started contemplating it. I said, all right.
Come on down.
What's the South saying?
That like easy touch base is not like it has to be intentional. It can't necessarily be like a spontaneous, like, let's hang out. Because like for you and I, we started planning months in advance before we did our New York trip and like made it a whole thing with other creators. But yeah, it's like trying to be intentional, trying to get out and meet people is tough, but it's worth it for the friendships that are worth it.
Absolutely. And no, like when you said, you know, it's worth it, I absolutely feel like it's so worth it because I love the fact that like, I literally think about it, I'm like, oh, I'm so happy I met Ashley this year. Like, I feel like it was perfect timing.
Yeah.
We were both kind of like just ready for it. This is a friendship that we're being intentional about. And we're also kind of, it's beautiful because then we're also supporting each other in like the same venture. So it's really nice. Like, it's really, really beautiful to like have that support too. So
yeah, we speak the same language. It's really nice to have a friend that also is a podcaster because we can like catch up on and like kiki on fun stuff and like pop culture stuff, shows that we're watching, life in general. But to be able to have somebody to like get advice from or like, hey, I have to make this decision. Or like the other day when we talked and you're like, Ashley, have you done that thing that you said you were going to do? And I was like, girl, no, I haven't. But thank you. I appreciate it. So I think having that like added layer within the friendship is really, really nice.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oof, girl.
So y'all know that I am big on mental health and I'm really curious about like, what are some things? Well, let's pick out three things specifically that you learned about your own mental health this year.
Girl, this is a good one.
Yes.
And I must say, listening to your podcast, having you on my podcast, I'm like, ooh, Ashley is about this. And I really love the fact that like, yeah, like you may not be like a practicing mental health, you know, professional, but your lived experience definitely adds to the conversation and you bring guests that are either like experts or, you know, your homegirls or just people that you've met that have interesting stories that we can all learn from. So like,
thank you, Chid. I appreciate that. Keep up the great work, girl.
But a couple of things that I've learned about myself is that venting is really important, is a really important part of like my like wellness journey or wellness routine, schedule, like whatever you insert word here. But I think that venting was really important for me this year. And I realized it when I pulled up to Pilates and that day I had, I guess, like a not so great conversation with a particular friend. I was just feeling just really annoyed. And like, I was trying and I wasn't getting much push on this, right? I walked into Pilates. My Pilates instructor is a Black woman. Love her.
Shout out to the Black women that are Pilates instructors. Girl, it's like five of y'all, but we're here for
girl,
you.
Girl, especially here.
Yeah.
So I walk in and she's like, how's your week? And I'm like, Lisa, my week hasn't been the greatest. And I just like, I can't even believe that she would do this. And like, now I gotta like know how to balance friendship and a man and this. And I'm doing this while I'm on the reformer machine, like pushing. And she's like, 5, 4, 3. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's gonna be tough, girl. But what I realize is that you gotta do this. And then I look at her, I'm like, Lisa, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, I don't pay you to also be my therapist.
Let me leave a tip for her.
Like, I actually only pay you to teach me how to move on this reformer machine. And she's like, no. These are the things that I'm here for. Sometimes you need this. And I can tell that you're really mentally fatigued today. So you know what? We're not gonna do the ab crunchers. We're gonna take it easy today. So when I literally walked out of there and at first I was like, damn, I hope Lisa didn't feel like I really just dumped on her. And I apologized. But then at the same time, I was like, oh, venting is crucial for me.
Yeah. And you know, can't feel guilty about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've learned how to vent from a space of not disrespecting whatever it is I'm venting about or whoever it is I'm venting about. I'm not disrespecting them, but I'm like, but how come this is happening? Or like, am I doing something wrong? Is this something that I'm not, you know?
Yeah.
So I've learned to vent that way. So that's one.
Yeah.
Second thing is just learn how to, like, learning to lean into help, even if I have to pay for it. And that has to do with like this podcast. Like, I'm getting to a point now where I'm like, girl, the hats that I be wearing, okay, I gotta take one hat off before I'm able to put another one on. So now I'm like, okay, I'm starting to get help here. And of course, I can't afford to pay everybody, which is another issue. But now I'm like, okay, even if I'm paying like you, okay, I'll pay you this. Send out a couple of emails at the beginning of the season. I can't afford to keep paying you every month, but maybe like at the beginning of the season, pay you for a little bit of help to get me started. And then, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
So I'm just really leaning into like help.
That's so important though, to like, one, realize guilt-free that you like, okay, yes, I need help.
Mm.
And then figuring out how to actually get the help. Because that's where I'm at, is like, I know for sure that I need help.
Yeah.
But it's like that next step of, what does it actually look like? How do you plan it out? Is that paid help? Is that volunteer? Is that internships? Is it, you know, is it an agreement to like trade services? So,
right.
Cheers to you on that one, Chin, for needing help and getting the help that you need.
Okay. All right. The third thing is really, it's related to the one of the things that we've talked about earlier, but my one thing I realized was just that for me personally, this hustle and grind culture, it's really lonely, and I don't intend to do it alone. I don't even intend to do it for too much longer because I'm tired.
Yeah. It's a scam.
But I just know that I definitely cannot do it alone. So that's what I realized, because it feels too lonely. It just feels, it's just not good for me. Like, I think I just love having community around me, having support around me.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, girl, those are some things that I learned this year.
Yeah. I feel like hustle and grind needs to be hustle and rest.
Okay. Because I'm tired of all the catchphrases, hustle every day, sleep when you're dead, sleep is for suckers.
Sleep is for me tonight, full 8 hours. That's what I'm going for. Like, you have to get your rest when you're able to. I realize that I don't have children. That alone is a huge responsibility. And I have the privilege to be able to rest. I know not everybody has that, but where you can find rest, please take it. Like, you actually need to fill your cup
before
trying to fill everybody else's cup, whether it's your kids, whether it's your parents, your co-workers, whomever, like your podcast, you have to fill your own cup in order to, you know, put your oxygen mask on before you put anybody else's on.
All right. Okay. Well, what about you, girl? What did you learn?
I learned so much. One of the most interesting episodes that I had this year, and probably because I felt like I learned so much, I felt like she was talking to me personally, was we had Kelly from Kelly Bonner. She came in and talked about burnout.
Oh, yeah. The host of the Black Girl Burnout podcast.
See, one of us is going to remember. I learned a lot about burnout. And I think that I was under the impression that if I get burned out, I just need rest. And I was feeling burnt out. And went on a trip to Costa Rica, and I thought, oh, I'll feel so much better after this trip. I'll feel refreshed. And to be honest, I came back and I was burnt out again. And I'm like, how am I burnt out? I just had, you know, this great experience with rest and like time to be around the people that I love the most and da 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 da. And I came back and I was still, I went right back to being tired. My body went back to being fatigued. And I realized there's a difference between like depression and burnout. And like, when you get time to rest and you come back into that same environment, that's usually burnout. If you leave and you go to get rest and you are still feeling those same feelings, it's probably depression. So that was a big thing that I learned this year.
Okay. And that's a big one, because that's not something that people may pick up on.
No, not at all. Especially if you don't get a chance to take those little breaks and recognize, okay, now I feel good. You know, like I took an extra day off, or, you know, so-and-so like watched my kids for the whole day on Saturday and I felt great. Or they watched my kids on Saturday and I got the whole day to myself and I still felt terrible. I still felt sad. I still felt like emotionless or whatever it may be. So yeah, that was one thing I learned. I think the second thing that I learned as far as my mental health this year was to say yes to help. And I've been in therapy. I've been seeing the same therapist pretty much since I moved to Tampa a few years ago. And I had the opportunity through my insurance to like be in this like program over the summer where I think it was like a 12-week program where they assign a therapist and a behavioral coach to you. And you have like these weekly calls with them. And at first I was like, I don't need this. Like, I have a therapist. And then I was like, it's free, girl. Why would you say no to something that is free and is a mental health resource? So I said yes. And again, I think this is saying yes to help, kind of going back to what you were saying earlier. And it was super helpful because I was able to kind of like compartmentalize what I spoke with this therapist about versus what I was working. You know, I talked about like my struggles with fertility and stuff like that with the new therapist and the behavioral coach. And I found it to be extremely helpful. So I think sometimes we think that we have it, but when somebody else is reaching their hand out to help you, sometimes you just got to say yes and accept the help.
Yeah, just take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the third thing that I think I realized about my mental health this year is community is very important to me and very important to my mental health. Mm. And I have been able to like travel lots this year. And like I mentioned earlier, I don't really have friends here in Tampa, but I've been able to meet amazing people like Chid. Okay. other amazing women through the podcast. I went to Burning Man. If y'all don't know what it is, I'm not even going to try to start to explain it now, but was able to like, you know, meet more people and be in a different form of community there. And also just like strengthening my own community and being more open about what I'm going through. I think I realized how important community is. And like, I need my people. And it's really easy to be like, you know, going back to that hustle and grind culture, like, it's only me. Like, you wasn't with me shooting in the gym. Yeah. But in reality, I need all my people. Like, my husband is a big support system for me. You know, being able to talk to my family, my friends about stuff that's going on. And being able to do the same for them. Yeah, that's top tier. That's probably my third biggest lesson is like, I need my people. And there's nothing to be ashamed of.
At all.
Yeah.
You know what I love about this? And this is just where you see the alignment, okay? You talked about like needing community. I talked about not enjoying like that hustle and grind, being lonely. You said community, talked about help. You talked about help and like, help from a coach and a therapist. Like, I love the alignment. I feel like this year was just,
Yes. Can we do another cheers? Oh, if you're listening, absolutely. You know, feel free to grab your beverage of choice, eggnog, wine, water. I'm usually sipping on tea during my episodes, but it's the end of the year.
Okay.
So, Chid, I want to ask you, what has protecting your peace look like this year?
Ooh, this is a really good question, because I think when people hear protecting your peace, a lot of times it's like, oh, I'm shedding myself the dead weight. All y'all gotta go. You know that?
Not all y'all gotta go. Deleting phone numbers and iPhone just.
You know? And then especially at the end of the year, all you see is the image of that woman and she has the bag with her and it's like, love, hope, great, bag, yes, money. Yes. And then all the things that she's like leaving behind or she's not taking with her, and she's climbing up the staircase.
Yes.
I know that that's a lot of the imagery and things that come to mind when we think of like protecting your peace. But for me, protecting my peace looked like effective communication, because I have learned that like the way that you communicate with one person is not necessarily the way that you communicate with another person. Learning people's temperaments, learning people's abilities, the way people understand things is really, 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 really important.
Yeah.
So I feel like for me, learning how to effectively communicate with people to make sure that like nothing gets lost or that things are not misread. Of course, you can only do so much, but mm-hmm. that has really helped because that way it just allows people to like understand what you're saying. There's no room because I used to be fearful avoidant and there's still a little bit of that in me, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's like if we're fighting or if we're not talking or whatever, I just don't say anything, right? Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, no. Communicate, kid. Like, let's do this. Yes. So now I'm like, okay, I'm communicating. I used to be really afraid of like saying what I actually wanted, especially in terms of like romantic relationships and romantic settings. Now I'm like, I'm voicing things and it's making for better, healthier situations. So
yes.
that was one for me. And the second one I would say is sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes depending on what the relationship dynamic is, creating or just allowing for distance in the relationship, just so we can kind of just love each other from afar. Yeah. Sometimes that yeah. do be the best.
Sometimes it's necessary to like yeah. give each other your space, especially depending mm-hmm. on how your setup is. If you are always around each other, like I know mm-hmm. some people, I work from home, but my husband is hybrid. So there's that like space to miss each other when you're not together. And sometimes you need that distance away and that time to yourself. But shout out to you for knowing your attachment style. Okay, I see you.
Girl.
Yeah.
I feel like, not to generalize, but I think that a lot of first daughters of households, mm-hmm. especially Black.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are like very, I think we lean more towards avoidant.
Yeah.
Than, yeah, I think it's avoidant and then there's anxious.
Yeah, I'm anxious avoidant.
Okay. And then yeah. fearful avoidance is the one where you just don't want to talk about it, huh?
Yeah.
You just, yeah. Okay. And anxious avoidance is where it's like.
Yeah. Anxious avoidance is like, I'm worried about everything, but I okay. also like don't really want to say much to address okay. what I'm worried about.
Yeah. And fearful avoidance is like, if I sense anything is gone, I'm gone. Like,
yes. Yeah. Dipping. I'm out. Yeah. Attachment styles is something that I learned about this year, and I encourage everybody to like look into them because it gives you a greater understanding of the type of person you are, and maybe if there's people that you're either in a relationship with, friendships that you're working on, relationships that you're working on, it can give you a better understanding of how you're approaching things, how you deal with things, maybe some ways that you can improve how you like are, you know, that dynamic within those relationships. But I feel like we both have episodes on attachment styles.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of resources out there for y'all. Go back and save the episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
I think for me, protecting my peace this year, I feel like I'm just copying you, but I would have to say it's communication, because as much as I want to say, oh, I'm cutting off things, I think especially with work, I had a lot of changes with like my 9-to-5 job this year, and changes that shifted the way and the people that I was communicating with. And I had to be mindful of like setting boundaries and letting people know what I need in order to like do the job that I do. And in order to do that, in order to protect my peace, I had to speak it. Like I had to set those boundaries and ask those questions up front. So not that that was something new to me, but that is not something that I necessarily had to be so intentional about previously. But as things change, people change, things move around, that just became something that I realized, okay, I have to. So many things that used to kind of be unsaid now need to be said.
They need to be said. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Oof,
that's a good one.
So let's talk about, I mean, it's 2023. Both of our podcasts turned 3 this year. So
okay.
can we just take another a little cheers?
Girl,
for that?
Because, yeah. Mm-hmm. Big cheers to that, because
3 years is a lot.
3 years.
It's a long time.
Still standing.
Still all right? Here.
I'm still here.
We're still going, and I'm really proud of us. And I think that for anybody that has attempted to start a podcast or is part of maybe podcast production, for the podcasts like ours that are growing and have like so much potential, a lot of it, again, like we mentioned earlier, a lot of it is on us, or we have like a small team that we're working with. So I just want to say shout out to us for just still being around and still being like really big contributors in this space to our communities.
Yeah.
I want to talk about like, what's your top five moments? Let's go back and forth. I want to talk about our top five moments of the year. Yes. What's your number one moment? 2023. Let's start with a podcast.
Okay, this is perfect. So these five are going to be in no particular order for me. I feel like they're all great moments, but because you just started off with the podcast, we're going to have to just recognize that the podcast is award winning. You know, I applied for the Signal Awards. You won silver in education category for the Signal Awards 2023. So
yes,
officially an award winning podcast, and we hit 100,000 downloads.
Yes. Hold on. Do we have like a drum roll?
Ooh, girl. Yeah, we can just do it. Yes. I'm going to find some effects to put.
We need you to find some effects. Come on, Riverside. Can we cheers?
Yes. Oh,
big tins.
Big tins are gone. Oh my goodness. I love that. Ooh, okay. What was yours?
I think maybe starting with the podcast. I'm actually going to start with the podcast in terms of going back to community.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of my biggest like accomplishments or favorite moments this year is meeting new people through the podcast. I think it is hands down, out of like the 3 years that I've been doing this, this year it's been like me understanding how to like work with booking agents and working with PR companies, but also like, who do I want to reach out to? Who do I want to interview? And like, you know, are there opportunities to be more than like acquaintances and actually like build friendships? But also just getting to meet people that are doing the work. And I think sometimes we don't often meet those people, but that's a big part of my podcast is storytelling and education and being able to meet the people that are like have their own nonprofits going or writing books and like really doing the work in terms of talking about mental health in different ways has been amazing.
Yeah. Ooh, yes. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So funny. That's a great segue. That's sort of my second one. So meeting new friends that are just aligned with my like personal journey and where I'm at right now, but also like my professional journey, whether it's my 9-to-5 or the podcast. Like I feel like meeting yourself, getting to see the ladies that we sort of met up with in New York, from Rebecca to Yelka to like all the ladies to Erica, like it was just amazing. And I'm so happy because now like we're all connecting with each other, we're supporting each other with our platforms, but we're also being intentional to check in as well. And yeah, honestly, like that has been such a beautiful part of my journey this year. And I think especially because there's this sort of like notion that as you get older, it gets harder to make friends and build community around you because a lot of it is just, it becomes mechanical. Work home, work home, work home. Mm-hmm. So to be able to still be cultivating and meeting and starting new friendships at this point, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Thank God. So, for real. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Right. So okay. Yeah, that's my second one.
What's your third one, Chid?
Okay, so my third one, this is something that I've looked forward to because I feel like this is a little bit of the story behind like, but what do I know? I feel like this year, I love the fact that I finally felt adequate and good at my jobs. Like whether it's the podcast or my 9-to-5, I feel like I finally was like, yo, I'm good at this shit. Like what? Yes. Like I can do this. Because for such a long time, it's like, oh, I can't wait till when I can feel like I'm really good at this. I can't wait till when I've put the hours in and I know what I'm doing. And but now, especially with the 9-to-5, because just the whole like corporate vibe can really make you feel like,
am I supposed to be here?
Girl, like I'm just like, I was really nervous. I was just, ooh, and I started a new job this year too. So I think that for me was just such a top personal moment. Like finally feeling like, yeah, I'm meant to be here, you know?
Yes. Shout out to you, Chid. Starting a new job and like getting to the point where you feel comfortable.
Girl.
It can take time. Like
it does.
It can take time just to get your confidence up and to actually feel like you can do your day to day and feel capable of like, okay, I know what I got to do. I understand like the meetings that I have to run or whatever that may be. That's, but it sometimes it's tough to get there. So cheers to you.
Oh, girl, thank you.
For getting to that point.
Thank you so much, because the first couple months were shaky. They were rough because I was like, oh, I'm really having to put in extra work and read and learn. But yeah, so happy to be at this point. Like, I'm still, of course, improvement to be made. But yeah, I'm just happy that like, wow, okay, my confidence is here, you know?
Yes. Ah, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. All right. How about you, miss?
Okay, so my second one is going to be hitting 200. I think I just surpassed like 200,000 plays a week or so ago. So
okay, can we get a big cheers for that?
Hey.
And if you're listening and you can clap your hands, clap your hands.
Ahead, clap. I can hear you. Miss, I can hear you.
200K is no small feat, girl.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It's been like for a really long time, I just put my head down and I was like, I'm not going to look at the numbers because,
girl,
you know,
it was me.
Girl, woo. Episode 6, 7, I was like, I'm going to stop looking at this.
Me
I'm
just too. I said, you know what? That's enough of me.
Yeah,
I'm going to not even look at that tab. Yeah.
We're not going to go to that tab.
I'm just coming to upload and that's it.
Yeah, no analytics. So
exactly.
For a long time, I avoided even looking at that. And I was like, I'm just going to really focus on finding people that I resonate, that I think resonate with the podcast and I think people could relate to, and just focusing on getting really good episodes out that are good conversations out that I think would be really good episodes. So yeah, I'm super happy about that. And I'm more conscious of the numbers now. I'm not trying to be super focused on them, but I was like low key hype that, you know, that I hit that number.
Girl,
I'm proud of myself. I can
girl.
Say that.
No, big congratulations. Like that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort.
Yeah.
But I'm so happy because it's funny, in a previous episode, I was also telling the guest that it was sort of the same thing for me. Like this year, I was like, you know what? I want this to be just organic. I'm not going to look at the numbers. I'm not going to stress too much. Going into the third year, let's see. Like, and I always told myself, you know what? If I focus on just putting out quality content for people, quality conversations that are really impactful, people will come. And this year, that happened for us. And I'm really happy because sometimes, not going to lie, it can be discouraging when you see what's actually going viral and what's getting the millions and millions and views. But knowing that there are people out there that need and want this content, yeah, I'm here for that. So.
Yeah, I think that was the thing I had to get over maybe like year two when I started like, I would peek at the numbers every so often. But like you said, you see the stuff that goes viral and I was like, damn, is that what I got to talk about? Like,
girl,
to get people to see the podcast. And then I realized that is not my audience. Like the people that I realized, like people are, you know, multidimensional, you know, everybody's got, you know, duality to them. But I realized that the people that are going to really love like the clickbaity feely podcasts and like the stuff that's really focused on pop culture and things like that, that they may also listen to that. But if they're only listening to those things, they may not be my audience. They may not be at the point in their life where this is valuable to them. And I had to really shift my focus to if a person is in a moment in their life where mental health is really important to them, they will come. They will find me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because y'all almost had me. I almost started talking about who was eating who, who was dating who.
I'm done.
Okay, because the nights that I would scroll through TikTok and Instagram talking about, you know what, if I did this, who should pay for who?
Yeah.
50-50, what? You almost had me. And then I said, you know what? No.
Yeah.
No, you know, there's I have something else to offer.
Exactly. There's some other podcasts out there, like great podcasts that go viral, that have these great moments.
Right.
And maybe
they don't
go like super viral,
right,
but they are creating these moments that people non-toxic moments, because I never want somebody to come on my podcast and then in the back of their mind be thinking like, is she gonna cut and clip this so that
in a way that makes me look crazy
in a bad light? Exactly. Or is she gonna present my, you know, my story in an honest way, or the things I'm educating about? And I know like All the Smoke is one of the podcasts that I listen to. I'm a retired basketball player. So But the other day they were talking to somebody and they were just talking about how, you know, people can come on and trust them because they know they're not there for like the clickbaity moments. And they're not just trying to like get the gotcha moments and like, oh, I'm going to put that out now just so I can get a million people to listen to this. But then nobody's going to listen to the episode. So, yeah, I guess it's just a creative choice that we made. But I think it's the right choice for
us. Yeah, for me, I think it's the right choice. Yeah. Especially just with how overwhelming and scary the internet can be. I'm happy to be able to sustain this and have my corner of the internet. Y'all can have the rest.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be extra famous, please.
Yeah,
exactly. Ooh, but girl, Jen, what's your fourth moment?
Ooh, okay. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, like personal, professional podcasts. We're going to get into some pop culture moments now. For me, I feel like this year, pop culture was really like, I was waking up, you know, the emoji with the two eyes?
Yeah.
That was like me this. For like a lot. I was like,
yeah.
What? There were times I would message you and I'm like, girl.
Like, did you see this?
Did you see this? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So for me, one of those moments for me is just, there's a negative part, but there's a positive part to it. So it was sad to see what women we're going through behind closed doors. And, you know, of course, when it comes to like pop culture, celebrities, we don't know these people. We don't know what they're really dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. And we only go with what was shown. But it was just really kind of sad to see the the deep cracks that are in a lot of relationships and situations that a lot of women in the industry are in, mm-hmm. Or were in. And I think one of the moments for me was just seeing these women like just kind of boldly leave these situations or like, yeah, make the first step to leave or speak up against these situations. So, you know, with Megan and, you know, the case coming to a close and just her journey, just seeing all that she's kind of been through and the glimpses of vulnerability that she's showing us now was great. Cassie, the lawsuit that had a goddamn trigger warning
right
at the front page.
That was wild to me.
Oh my goodness. Said, wow, the boldness it takes to put this out for us.
Yeah.
Kiki. And I hate that whenever these things happen, we find out through leaks. So we only really saw the photo steals because somebody somewhere leaked it to the blogs, leaked the restraining order that she had filed, leaked those information. But when I saw those steals and I saw, like, not to be graphic, but trigger warning, but just seeing, like, first of all, the timestamps on those things were 6:30 a.m. Mm.
Yeah.
Why?
Why? Yeah.
Just why? You know? Yeah. So I was just like, you know, I'm glad that you are making the right, you know, taking the first step, you're filing and you're doing what's best for your safety and your baby's safety, right? Because now there's a child involved. So yeah, for me, it was sad to see, like, and these are just three women. Like, there are so many other stories that we've been hearing, a lot of women who are, you know, aren't as famous as these three. So we may not have heard about them, but there's just a lot. And I just think I've had to sit back and be like, God, like, what is the spirit that is floating in this entertainment music industry? Like, that these stories are not unique, like, you know?
Yeah, so I think that's probably the saddest part is, I think there's two, like you said, there's the positive in terms of like the courage that people are having to come in and tell their story. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the roughest part to see is even despite that courage and coming and telling their story, there are people that are always going to speak really ill of them. Like at the end of the day, we know what we've been told or shown, but I think there's always like you have to have some empathy when listening to these stories. And I think for some people, their gut reaction is to attack Black women or to then like degrade them. And so I think you realize like how much courage actually takes to come out because not everybody is like, you know what? Good for you. There are some people out there that are also malicious or may have, I feel like hurt people hurt people. And sometimes people's reactions are just very interesting with that. So shout out to those women and whoever, you know, anybody that's listening that has left a situation or made a decision this year to leave a situation, regardless of what that looks like in your relationship that was unhealthy for you in any way. Like, shout out to you. Pat yourself on the back. If you're drinking, sip some eggnog, sip some. Shout out to you. Cheers to you for that. Cheers. Because it's not an easy thing. It takes a lot of courage. And even when you do it, people are still going to.
To run their mouth.
To run their mouth. So let them run. And you continue to lead a healthy life.
Yeah. So that's real.
Yes.
All right. What was your pop culture moment?
For me, I think my pop culture moment, my first one would have to be Meg Thee Stallion dropping, not to bring up Meg again, but shout out to Meg. She dropped a vulnerable song called Cobra. I believe it was called Cobra, about her mental health. It was actually the second song. She actually talks about mental health quite a bit. Like, she has little snippets here and there throughout several songs. She dropped a song about anxiety last year, I believe.
Yeah.
This year, she's been silent for a really long time. And she drops this beautiful video and this, like, powerful song, just telling her story about, like, her struggles with drinking and, like, her struggles dealing with the media's reaction. Going back to how people react when people tell their stories, going back to the situation that she was living out very publicly with the case. And, you know, I won't go naming names, but that situation is so easy to get online and, like, type something out about. But people often forget these people are real human beings and
real
it's lives. Like, very likely that they're reading this. It's very likely that their families are reading this. And the fact that she went and did a whole video being like, kind of like opening her wounds and being like, look, like I am going through things. There have been times where she didn't want to be alive. And like, those are big things to say. Those are points where somebody on her team could have been like, this is not
girl.
It, Meg.
This ain't what they want to hear. You know, girl, let's go back to the hot girl coach.
Yep. Let's go back to hot girl summer.
But that just goes to show you, like, what we as a society gravitate to. That song was so packed. And I think I left this comment on your post when you had posted about the song and music video as well, is that because of Megan's branding and marketing and packaging, I wonder if she could have made that song on a slower beat with a less flashy video and people would have received it the same way. You know?
Yeah.
It still had a beat that would make you want to move in a club.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, like the fact that, like, you know, you still had to package it in a certain way. You still gave us visuals. You still were like hot and sexy in the video while you were talking about depression and all these heavy stuff. So I'm like, damn, like, you know, so I was thinking about that. And then just the fact that, like, it was packed with all these different, like, themes and lines and messages.
Yeah.
But the one that goes viral is the one of your ex cheating on you, allegedly. Yeah. Right? Like, it's just...
It's wild. It's like... But then I think it goes back to remembering that, like, people are going to pick and choose what they react to. Mm. And I think that... I feel like there are a lot more people... Not a lot more. I feel like there are a lot of people that feel for her. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, like, the loudest, most obnoxious voice in the room is what everybody's going to look at. And sometimes I feel like with social media, I don't know how the algorithm works because it changes every week, but sometimes I feel like those comments and that type of interaction gets pushed to the top.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the more supportive stuff kind of gets suppressed. But that's always going to get more impressions. But a big moment was just that, the fact that she just decided to be like, I'm going to tell my story. I'm going to be very honest about it. So shout out to her.
Shout out to Meg for real. Oof, just, yeah.
What's your fifth, moment and, like, second pop culture moment for this year?
Yeah. Okay. So final moment for the year, pop culture moment. I enjoy the resurgence and hyper on R&B. Okay. So this is kind of like two in one, but, I was just living for all the different, like, little moves we got, okay? Victoria Monet's On My Mama song and music video, like, she killed it.
Yes.
Coco Jones is getting the shine that she deserves, rightfully so, because her vocals, okay? Oof. And she's on tour now. Victoria Monet's tour sold out. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even get tickets.
Me neither.
Okay. And then, of course, the moment that just caused a lot of ruckus, a lot of joy. Usher Raymond the Fourth's residency in Vegas.
Usher's seduction residency. Ooh, that's what it's been.
Girl. Okay.
This man has been snatching hearts.
Usher, aka Don't Leave Your Girl Around Me, okay, True Player for real. All
y'all right. Is playing. It's 2023 and he still has it. Okay.
Wow. I was this close to buying tickets to Vegas.
I don't think your man was, you know.
Yeah, I texted him. He said, listen, I don't think I can afford for Usher to take my girl.
Like, we can get the tickets. They can be in the nosebleeds. Where right.
Forget that little section where all the celebrity ladies sit at.
Okay. Because No, it's been awesome to see. Like, I love music and I love R&B music. I've been listening to, like, lots of... I've been calling it alternative R&B. But I don't really think that's what it is. I just think R&B is not as mainstream as it was in like the 2000s.
Yeah.
So I have loved seeing people get their shine. Yeah. I've loved seeing, like, I must have played All My Mama about, I don't know, my Spotify Wrapped came out and it was like top five because I went to school in Texas.
Yeah.
Cook'em Horns. I went to school in Texas and when I was there, I fell in love with like Chopped and Screwed and like, all those like Slim Thug, all those like Texas bangers. So the fact that she like redid that song in such a beautiful way and then had like an ode to Sierra in the song.
Yes.
And then, I mean, it was just like top
tier. So well done. So well done. And I'm so happy because, like, it's just so good to see the artists that really do this for the love of the art and are constantly trying to like push the envelope and better their craft are actually winning, you know?
Yes.
I guess, you know, I didn't note this down, but I'll also just throw it in here. Janelle Monáe and her album as well. Her album was just very much like celebration. Of course, we got to see her perform live together.
Girl.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
I was just thinking, I'm like, girl, how did I not include
her? How did we not include her? We're adding her as a bonus moment because we went to New York. That was a whole catalyst for us going to New York.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Not to miss Janelle Monáe.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That I might have to be, I don't want to say it's underrated.
Yeah.
Because again, I feel like niche audience, but
yes, that's that what woman,
Oh my, and she's a performer.
Performer.
She got lungs of like, she did like an ode to MJ and by herself on stage and it was immaculate.
Like vocals, dance moves, theatrics, because she's also acting. Like her body is part of the performance. She's not just singing.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, no, Janelle, you really are that girl.
Yeah.
You are who you think you are.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And more.
And more. Like super, super, extremely talented, amazing album. Like, oh, it was an amazing just she made our New York trip. Like that was
Age of Pleasure.
Age of Pleasure.
That album, y'all check it out. So good.
Yes. Yeah. Another person that like I feel like popped up this year, Lucky Day. Maybe he just popped up for me.
Yeah, I think he dropped a new single recently. Yeah.
Did he? Okay, I need to go back and listen. But he I love music and I love knowing like who's the producer, like who sung background, like who wrote the song.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found out, I kind of just discovered Lucky Day. He was popping up on some playlists last year, but this year I really like really got into his discography. And I was like, wow, he is amazingly talented. Then I realized that he has been writing since the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, how old is he? I thought
he's
he was like
late
30s.
No, he's in his late 30s.
Older
than
me.
Because he was also on a music talent show. I can't remember which one. If it was American Idol or something. And then I think he didn't win.
Yeah, he didn't win. I think it was like 2001 or something. When he did it.
Yeah, it's been time for Lucky Day.
Yeah. So I need his skincare regimen.
Yeah.
But also, if y'all love R&B, get into him because he has written on some of like probably your favorite singles that have come out from other artists. Like my mind was blown when I saw that, but it's great to see people like him, like Victoria Monet, who is a huge songwriter and has written like many of Ariana Grande's songs, but a lot of songs for different people. I think she's written for Beyonce, a whole host of people. Like make sure y'all go back and listen to their albums, like their bodies of work. Reflect how much work they put into their own songs and how much they put into their craft. So
yes, One last thing, sir, girl. Ooh, this is not a moment and it's coming to me. Last one, I promise.
It's okay.
along with R&B getting the hype it deserves, I also loved seeing like Afrobeats just as an African girl. I just love seeing Afrobeats get the shine that it deserves. And it also starting to get infused because even when I think about Janelle Monáe's Age of Pleasure, CK is on that album. There are a lot of like Afrobeats influences in that album as well. So I'm like, ooh, I just love it. I feel like the diaspora is connecting through music right now. And I'm such a big fan of it. So
me too. Afrobeats is like, I don't know. I don't know what's being said a lot of the time. And me and Chid realized that during our trip in New York. So my family is Jamaican. I was born here in America. And let me tell you, I was singing my heart out to Burna Boy's.
I need Ivo and Shayo.
Yes.
Everybody go chop very fast.
And I was like, and the funniest thing was we went out to, I can't remember which party we went out to, but we went out to this party. There was a lot of, you know, diasporians in there.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were all like, everybody got chopped up fast. It was like a celebration.
And you know the funny thing is? So my boyfriend's Jamaican, right? And he's, you know, jamming. He's like, oh, last, everybody got chopped breakfast. And he's taking the words literally like, oh, we're all going to chop breakfast. We're all going to eat food. We're all going to enjoy. Nah, that song's a heartbreak song. Chop breakfast is Nigerian slang for heartbreak. So it's just saying like at the end of the day, we all go through heartbreak. And he was like, no way, right? What? And I'm like, that's why he's saying I need Ibo and Shayo. Ibo's weed. Shayo is like alcohol enjoyment. He's like, no way. This whole time, I'm like, yeah, that's what Burna is saying.
Should blew my mind when we were out there. We were all dancing, you know, all the people that didn't know what it was, which is 95% of the people that were out that night were hype off of everybody chopping breakfast. We all eating together. And I just remember Chick kind of like stood back and was like, huh. And she just like looks across the whole like warehouse where we're at. She's like, and then she like taps me on my shoulder and she's like, this is not a celebration.
But you know what? I loved seeing it because I'm like, oh wow. Like New York to me felt like Toronto times three, right? Like you just like you're seeing everybody from everywhere. The diasporas connect. Oh, it was beautiful, man.
It was beautiful.
We'll have to come back.
It
but
was
yeah.
a time. Yes.
But yeah, that's my last little moment squeeze in there.
my last moment is just Beyonce's Renaissance tour that I did not get tickets for.
Girl.
Y'all, don't hate me. I would have loved to. I've never seen Beyonce in concert.
Neither
and
have I.
And I thought, oh, it's another tour. I'll just wait till she does the next one. Not really thinking about how iconic this latest album has been. I've been living through y'all's videos. I've been living through the videos. And I want to talk about, number one, that tour looked amazing through your cameras. So thank y'all for...
Thank you so much for holding your hand steady.
Yes. Number one, the music was amazing. The artistry of the tour was amazing. I will be going to see it in the movies. At some point, I buy it online. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch it. But the fact that she like very beautifully weaved in like the LGBTQ community and like an ode to her uncle and then showcase things like ballroom, you know, the voguing. Yes. Doing it in a way that I felt like was very much an ode to ballroom rather than like, I'm going to throw it in my set because it's cute.
Yeah.
And then Blue. Now, Blue, I feel like people have been taking her through the ringer, and this child is 11. Like, literally, since we saw the first picture of her, people have had so many things to say. And I guess this goes back to, like, different audiences. But I feel like this was just, I feel like we were just so blessed to be able to be a part of this. Like, it was amazing to see, like, a young Black child on this stage and see this journey from start to finish of like getting the confidence. And I saw the clips from the movie that, you know, like one of her friends told her all the stuff that was online. And she was like, I don't care. I'm going to keep going. Like, I'm going to get better. Oh my gosh.
Right.
Yeah. So that was probably my fifth biggest moment.
Oh, that's real. I loved it. And I just, And again, when I saw the clip from the movie that's been kind of going around of Blue saying, like, you know, I happened to stumble upon people saying that I, you know, my moves were lackluster, and she just kept practicing and practicing. And I was like, oh, you are your mother's daughter.
Yes.
Because that's so something Beyonce would do. But yeah, like, it's sad that an 11-year-old should have to kind of read those things. Like, you're 11. Yeah. Just the fact that you're on stage with your mom alone is iconic, right?
Iconic, yeah. I think it's like a reflection of what Black women go through and how early that starts. Say,
like, wow.
And how sometimes that comes from our own. Like, sometimes the harshest things come from our own people.
Like, the fact that I remember seeing tweets during that time of like, oh, like, why is she on stage though? Like, I didn't come here to watch it. And I remember just being like, whoa, like, that's what is going on here? Yeah.
But I just love that there were so many people, like, I know people, I just, from the clips, like, people were hyped that she was there and dancing. And I feel like she was a highlight of the tour and of this year. So go ahead, Blue.
Yeah.
To Blue. What are some things that you're looking forward to next year?
Ooh,
give me three things.
Okay, I love this portion of our conversation.
Top three for 2024.
Ooh, okay. So real quick, I'm looking forward to Usher's album and the tour to follow. I'm expecting that tour to follow. Okay, Usher Raymond the Fourth.
Please.
Drop the dates. Okay. And please make sure the dates and the prices are affordable for us girlies. Yes. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl performance. And I know he's going to drop an album in, and of course a tour will come. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to Burna Boy's concert in Toronto.
Yes.
Next year, February. I'm so excited. Tickets for that have already been secured because, you know, I don't play.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to just, like, he's such a good performer that I'm excited to just seeing just a vibe and just enjoying it with other people. And I know that that's going to be a good time.
Yes.
Okay. I'm looking forward to continuing to kind of like foster new friendships, you know, continuing to be intentional about that. Also to, you know, just continue to learn things, like on a personal level, learn things about myself through those friendships, and also just through, you know, introspection. And I know you said three, but one last quick thing I had to make a note of here is hopefully one big and one small travel trip. I know we're already planning for DC.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully one big trip as well. Yeah.
Yes. I love
that. Some things I'm looking forward to. How about you?
For me, three things I'm looking forward to next year. I am also attempting to secure tickets to Burna Boy in Tampa. Now, it's not going to be the same vibe that it's going to be in Toronto. We are all going to be singing, and if you go, ah, child, we're all going to be singing it like we're celebrating, because none of us are going to know. There's, you know.
Even we'll be celebrating at that point.
We'll be exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely am looking forward to Burna Boy, and I am looking forward to getting the surgery that I need for my lungs at some point.
Okay.
I was hoping to get it by the end of this year, but these doctors are taking their sweet time. So fingers crossed that happens next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the podcast, I'm really looking forward to really doing more education focused episodes. That's something that, like, this year I did a ton of storytelling, which I really, really loved. But yeah, I'm looking forward to just really going back and doing some more episodes on education within mental health. And yeah, I'll probably say the fourth thing, I'm just going to add another one. I went to Burning Man last year, and I have to go again this year. So I don't know how I'm going to do it, but we go into Burning Man again, because it was life changing. Transformative experience.
Ooh, I like that. So concerts and travel are a big thing, and then your surgery. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right. Okay, what else we got here?
So what three things are you taking with you from 2023 into 2024?
Ooh, girl. Okay, so I'm taking with me my patience and intentionality that carried me through. I'm gonna take that with me. I'm taking my friends, our relationships, my family, you know, they're still all coming with me, thank God.
Okay.
So yeah, I think intentionality with relationships, patience is coming with me. The new job I gained this year, getting good at that. Amen. We're carrying that new job into the new year.
Take it with you, girl. Hold on to it tight.
Girl, because have you seen outside? The economy is
hard. It's hard out there.
Ooh, it's cold. So yeah, those are the things I'm taking into the new year.
I think for me, as far as what I'm going to take into the new year. I'm taking communication.
Good. Yeah.
I'm going to say intentional communication into the new year. I am taking, I mean, I'm taking everybody with me. I'm taking, you know.
Love to hear it.
Yes. I think I'm also taking, I'm taking breathing exercises with me. They got to come. I'm taking the breathing exercises. It's been really big for me this year. For my mental health and also for my lung health.
Yeah, so that's really good.
The universe is telling me, girl, you ain't gonna be able to breathe if you can't do these breathing exercises. That's where I'm at right now. So
that's really good. I'm gonna have to throw in Pilates into that, like mat and reformer, whichever one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm finding that like I can't sustain pain for reformer. So now I'm just alternating like mat because that's free through like apps or cheaper with classes and then that with the gym. But girl, breathing exercises, I tried it and I'm like, I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to figure this out. Like that with difference. Meditation, breath work. And
yeah, it makes a huge difference. And I think that the third thing for me is grace for myself. I give a lot of people grace and I am proud of that. But I think giving more grace to myself in all aspects of life and more forgiveness for myself is definitely something I'm taking with me into next year.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, final part of our conversation for this episode, girl. What are your three wishes for the new year? This can be related to, you know, the podcast, professional or personal. Go ahead, girl. What are your three wishes?
My first wish is that I can take this podcast where it needs to go. Next year. I'm not going to say exactly what that is. But I am just going to continue to like listen to my heart and listen to God and figure out like, okay, where am I supposed to be taking this thing?
Yes.
And try to force things a little less. So that's my wish for the podcast. My wish for on the personal side is just to continue to build the friendships that I have. And really try to get out and meet people here in my area. Going back to community, like, y'all, can you tell I'm lonely here? I mean, my husband's here and we are like, it's great. But I think we both know, like, we both need friends.
Of course.
Anyways.
Of course.
Yeah. So I think my third thing is just, we'll do professional. My third thing next year is to, my wish is to get to the point where I feel as good about the role that I'm in now and as comfortable about this role that compared to the previous role that I was in. So the previous role that I was in earlier this year, I felt like how you're feeling now, which is like, I got this. Yeah. Like, I understand what I need. Right. And I'm in a new role in a new like type of company, more of a tech focused company rather than where I was before. And I am trying to get to that point. It's a challenge, but it's a challenge. I'm up for the challenge. So that's my wish is that next year. And my other wish is that I want to get my PMP license.
Okay, project manager.
Yes. So love that. That's my other wish. How about you?
Okay. So starting with professional, I would really love a raise or promotion. You know, like I feel like a couple of years in this industry, I'm learning, you know, I'm working hard. So I would like, an increase in that pay.
Okay.
So yeah, so raise a promotion, my professional like 9-to-5 job. For the podcast, I think I just want like you, but I don't kind of want to continue with the flow that I had this year of like, you know, just putting episodes out in a sustainable manner that's consistent for me. I want to just be able to like continue to grow the podcast in a sustainable and communal way. Like I'm starting to feel like listeners are talking back to me. Like I'm reading reviews and I'm like, okay, I can see what you listeners are enjoying. I'm getting tags on Instagram now. I'm getting messages in the DMs. I'm like, okay, people are responding. So I think I just want to kind of feel even more connected to the listeners. And I want to start to feel like, okay, it's a conversation. Like I'm talking and y'all are letting me know that, okay, this is cool. So just continued like gradual growth in a sustainable way for the podcast. Ideally, one or two brand sponsorships that are aligned with the podcast would be amazing. But if not, hey, you know? And then finally, overall, I just want to be, I think I want to have joy. Like, I think at the end of 2024, I want to look back and just say, I had joy. I want to be able to find like pockets of like affordable enjoyment. Cause you know, when we have bills and things to handle and now creative venture on the side, we don't always have the, the amount of money that we want to like take several trips in a year. But hopefully just finding like pockets of like affordable enjoyment, whether it's a staycation that's local or like a trip to the States, like what we did with New York and stuff like that. Right. Just hoping that I can find that and just genuinely like just enjoy. And like, I know the girlies have been saying this, but like generally romanticize life, like just enjoy it. Yeah.
Yes. I love that. I'm going to add that to my list too, because travel is so big for me. But I think when the eggs are $10, you have to figure out.
I can't take that trip, you know? Like we're rebooking
stuff. So I think just getting creative with travel and but also just getting creative with the things that you're doing outdoors. Like I want to do stuff like going rollerblading and stuff that doesn't necessarily cost a lot. I saw this thing on TikTok about third spaces. I don't know if anybody else has seen that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a big, I hang out at coffee shops a lot because I work from there when I don't have meetings. But I would like to do more third space-ish stuff, more beach stuff, more like just kind of like being somewhere where you're around people, but it's not like this huge cost or like something that you have to book ahead of time or something like that. So.
Right. Ooh, okay. Yeah. I love that. Well, is that everything on your list?
That I think is everything on my list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, girl, for doing this.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for listeners to hear this. I feel like we had a good old time.
Mm-hmm. As always.
You know, our glasses are almost empty.
I have one more sip.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one more sip. Can we do a cheers?
Yes.
I want a cheers to you and I want a cheers to anybody that's listening for, I want you to pat yourself on the back for whatever you accomplished this year, whatever you got through this year. Whatever challenge that you took on and kept going this year. So I want you to pat yourself on the back for making it through.
Yes.
Pat yourself on the back for the goals that you achieved.
Yes.
And pat yourself on the back for staying persistent even when you did not achieve that goal. So we're going to cheers to you.
Hey, woo, girl.
Okay.
That was so good. This is why we're friends.
Yes. Okay. Can we do this again next year?
Oh, yeah. Like next annual event.
Annual event. I like it. No, but thank you so much for coming up with this idea. And thank you for being my friend, Chid.
Thank you so much. This has been so beautiful. Like I said, I'm so grateful. I feel less lonely. Okay.
Yes, same. Like, I'll be hitting up Chid like, are you free? Do you want
Can we chat?
FaceTime because I don't have an iPhone.
So but we definitely WhatsApp video.
Yeah,
okay?
We're going to WhatsApp. We're going to WhatsApp all afternoon. Okay.
Of course. so grateful to you for doing this and just for our like journey in friendship and in pod sisterhood. And this is going to be an annual thing.
Yes.
So I guess for the listeners, you know, y'all have a happy and safe holidays. This is going to be the final episode of the Boy Duano podcast and for the year and for our season. We'll be back in the new year. Ashley's this the last episode for Black Girls Have Anxiety 2 of the year.
You know, we're going to try to squeak one more out before the end of the year.
I love it.
We're going to try.
All right. We'll see. So I love it. No, got to do what you got to do. But thank you all listeners for, you know, tuning into our conversation for our crossover episode.
Yes.
Y'all enjoy your holidays. Be safe. Enjoy the food. Get some rest. If you want to stay connected with the Boa Duano podcast, you can, you know, keep up with us. Follow us on Instagram at BWDIK podcast. If you want to follow up with the Black Girls Have Anxiety 2 podcast, you can keep up with the Instagram page at
Black Girls Have Anxiety 2. That's two with two O's.
Ooh, love that. All right, listeners. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you so much, Ashley, for this crossover episode again.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Black Girls Have Anxiety 2. No matter where you are in the world, I really appreciate your support.
See you again on the next episode, but until then, follow us on Instagram at Black Girls Have Anxiety Too, and on Twitter at Anxious Black Girls. That's Anxious BLK Girls. And remember, just because you're struggling doesn't mean you have to struggle in silence. The more we talk about it, the more we heal.